You know, the heat like this last week is just more than I can understand.
Oh, I know. Is it hot enough for you?
Yeah, I think.
This coffee is really good. I wonder what brand it is. My coffee never tastes like this at home. I wonder why.
Do you have any plans for this weekend?
Oh, yes. My whole family's going to be coming over for a great big barbecue.
Gee, that sounds like a lot of fun.
She's really, really cute.
I wonder how this coffee would taste iced. Maybe with a dash of cinnamon and condensed milk. I need to figure out what brand it is, because Brett and Andy would love it.
You know, the sun is going to be really sunny this weekend. I don't want you to get burned.
Well, thanks. I guess I better be going.
Awkward.
Thank you all, actors. People are like ducks. You'll remember that. Because, see, most of the action, in fact, often, the majority of the action in our lives happens underneath the surface. Can be all calm on top where everybody sees it, but underneath the surface, there's all sorts of things going on. Our inner motivations, our thoughts, our feelings behind every conversation, there's a whole other conversation happening. Always much activity underneath the surface. So whether that was the kid that called you fat in junior high and you've always had low self-esteem as a result because of that, because you're always trying to measure up to your parents' expectations and your older sister always got more attention than you and you've been fighting for it your entire life, the unresolved anger, the inability to forgive that person who hurt you all those years back, all of those things underneath the surface all of the time. And just like the current in a river, and as a duck fights against that current in a river just to stay in place, there's all this activity happening underneath the surface. And the Bible talks about the heart. That's what it's talking about. The inner life. The Hebrew word is levav. It's this idea of all your guts. Everything on the inside. All those motivations, all those fears. We're like ducks. All this stuff happening underneath the surface. Turn to your neighbor, go like this and say, "You quack me up." That's right. Very good. You know, the Bible puts it like this in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, if you would turn there with me. And then we're going to be in Colossians 3:16. It says this, "Above all else, guard your," what's the word?
Heart.
For everything you do flows from it. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Jesus said it's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. You want to know what's on somebody's mind. You want to know what's really going on the inside. Just wait long enough. It's going to come out. Angry people will say angry things. Hurt people will say hurt things. Our words, the words that we speak to one another, they reveal what's going on the inside. So when somebody speaks angry words to you, in some sense they're giving you a gift because they're giving you some insight about what's going on the inside. I love it when I meet somebody with a tattoo, because every tattoo has a story. So I love to be able to say, "Hey, so what's the story behind that tattoo?" You know, and sometimes the words that we put literally on our bodies, They are expressing something that has gone on, whether that's currently or things that have gone on in the past. There's always a story. When you see somebody with a tattoo, ask them about the story. Because our lives, they flow out of our hearts. People are like ducks. Now, I've been in ministry for about 20 years, and one of the things that used to when I was young and idealistic and probably far too cynical. See, church, in the first church I served, it would be, you know, you have 60 minutes, 65 minutes of worship, not 70, pastor. We got things to get to. And then people would go downstairs for what they call the fellowship hour, where everybody stands around with coffee and they talk. And I used to find that really difficult. Really, really difficult. Because here's what was going through my cynical brain. And maybe you can relate, is thinking, okay, we've just finished talking about the kingdom of God. We've just finished talking about forgiveness and grace and life change and living with purpose and vitality and, you know, caring for the poor and the marginalized and changing the world. Then we go downstairs, pick up a cup of coffee and talk about our wilting begonias. And I'm thinking, where is the disconnect between the conversations we're having, this chit-chat, this small talk, and these grand themes that we've all come together to be about? Do you ever wonder those things too? I mean, at least, and for me, I would come away with the thought sometimes when I, you know, in my cynicism of going, these people are shallow. And nothing could have been further from the truth. It took me a long time to figure this one out. And maybe some of you are much further along than this, but this one I kind of learned the hard way. And it ultimately it changed my life. For me, that was when I learned this lesson, that was the beginning of my call into pastoral ministry. And it was this insight. There is absolutely no such thing as small talk. If you walk away only remembering one thing today, remember that phrase. There is no such thing is small talk. Every single conversation you have with the people around you every single day, there is a conversation underneath it. You might be talking about the wilting begonias, or how hot it is outside, or the new pair of hiking boots, or, you know, the trailer hitch that got broken, or things that you think, this is just the trivial stuff. But underneath that conversation is a much more important one. The question of, do you really see me? Do you really care? Do I matter to you? And if we ask the right questions and we engage in that small talk well, we might just get entry into the inner life. We'll get a little look underneath the surface of somebody else's life, and just maybe they will help us to see what's going on underneath the surface of our own lives. Because that's the other thing with ducks, is they can't actually see what their feet are doing. And that's true for you too. There are things going on in your inner life, motivations, fears, that you're probably not even aware of. And that's why we need each other, so that we can move and grow in emotional health. And that's why even this topic today, this topic of what it means to do fellowship. Last week we talked about hospitality, what it means to welcome people. This tonight it's about how do we care for one another. This is actually, there's so much at stake with this. Sometimes this is called soul care. There is so much at stake with this, because if you don't find soul care somewhere, you're not going to grow. You could be 80 years old and be a midget Christian. You know, I don't mean midget in the bad way, but just somebody who has never grown. He has never grown. You'll never be all that Christ would have you to be. And the people around you will never become all that Jesus would have them to be without soul care, without getting some awareness of what's going on underneath the surface and growing in emotional health. You can quote all the Bible verses you want about forgiveness, but if you haven't experienced forgiving anybody, it's not going to make a lot of good. It's not just knowing the truth. It's applying it in our own lives. All of that is happening underneath the surface. And in every moment of small talk, there is an opportunity to plunge deeper. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16... Paul writes to the church in Colossae, and I think if we just walk slowly through this verse, we're going to see some really powerful insights. So Paul writes, let the message of who?
Christ.
So, what is that? What's the message of Christ? Forgiveness. Love. Grace. Yeah, the Christian distinctive of grace, of love, of forgiveness. The idea that we have unrestricted access to God the Father because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. By his death, by his resurrection on the cross, you have been forgiven. You might not believe it. You might not be willing to receive it, but you have been forgiven. And as that truth gets into your heart, it will change it. Do you know the thing that Jesus said more than anything else in his ministry? Do you know what it was? Did say peace a lot. The phrase that shows up more than anything else, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. God is closer than you think. You don't need to pray for God to come into your situation. He's already there. We need to pray that our eyes would be open to what God is already doing around us. And this can help us in these conversations, whether that's conversations with fellow Christians or that's conversations with somebody that's not yet a believer. You need to know that when you are in conversation with somebody, God has already been at work in their life, because he has supernaturally seen fit for this person you are talking to have a Christian who cares in their life, because that's you, or it could be you. God has supernaturally set up that appointment. And God is doing things in their life long before you got there. You don't need to manufacture anything. You don't need to push anything. All you can do is pull. Or here's a metaphor that I found helpful. Because this is the metaphor that one of my ministry mentor, Al Johnson, taught me, that totally changed how I viewed fellowship hour and small talk. It's like mining for gold. See, God is at work in the lives of the people around you all the time. They might not know it yet. There are nuggets of gold out there in the people and people around you and in you. But there's a lot of silt covering it. There's a lot of dirt covering it, so you often can't see it. But if you can help to sift through it lovingly, you'll find the nugget. You'll get some sense of what God is doing in that moment, in that person. And when that gold is revealed, it is a priceless, priceless, life-changing treasure. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you, what's the next word? Teach and admonish. What's admonish? It's warn. It's like a gentle form of warning. Don't do that. I tried that. It didn't work. You teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. What is the wise thing to do? What is the best practice here? How can we learn from each other's experiences? Learn from each other's mistakes? Through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Singing to God with what? Gratitude in your hearts. Remembering that God is good, that God is on the move, that God has a good plan for every person. We talk to one another. We look for what God is doing in each other's lives. We share wisdom. We share insight. We build one another up. So here's what I've seen, at least what I've experienced, as being the key to having life-changing conversations. The first essential piece is compassion. We talked about that in relative to hospitality. What would it be like for me to be you? I try to put myself in the other person's shoes. Compassion plus curiosity. I wonder what's going on. I really wonder what's going on. Compassion plus curiosity can equal connection and life change. And actually, I think that's one of the challenges that we have with this is, to be honest, very often we just don't care. We find ourselves lacking in compassion for one another. Sometimes we've got so much stuff going on in our own life, It's just hard to see beyond the pain. So when you find yourself lacking in compassion, what do? I know what we sometimes do is we fake it, right? We act like we have it when we don't. And does that help anybody? Not really. Maybe helps you look good at parties. But that's about it. But when we lack compassion, where can we find it? One of the most powerful prayers you can pray as you're heading into a conversation is, God, help me to really care about the people, about the person I'm talking to. When you find yourself sometimes we just feign curiosity. Same kind of thing. I mean, we can fake it for a while, but people eventually will know the difference. Or we can go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to really be interested in the people around me. Lord, you are doing good work in the person I am talking to. Help me to see it. Compassion plus curiosity. And we recognize that one of the best gifts we can give one another is the gift of good questions. The good questions are gifts. You know, questions that allow the conversation to go underneath the surface. And I realize we ask this first question, the question of how are you? We ask that all the time, whether we really are interested in it or not. Hey, how's it going? How you doing? How you doing? Good to see you. How you doing? Right? If you want to give somebody a gift, ask them a question that goes a little bit deeper. So what's going well at work for you right now? What's going well with your family for you? What's the last time you felt encouraged? And start to go underneath the surface and ask God to develop in you that a holy sense of compassion and a holy sense of curiosity. Now, here's also why I need to put a couple of warnings in there too, because some of you, if you're thinking and tracking with me, you're like, okay, this could be difficult. Because there are some real challenges with this. This is not necessarily a foolproof key to unlocking your teenagers, parents. See, they're trying to form their identity apart from you right now. And they may not want to connect with you on the level that your parents are nodding their head. Yeah, and I'm heading into those years too. You just have to wait for those doors to open. This is not going to make your kid do what you want them to do, necessarily. The other thing you really need to be aware of is that, and this is a theory, so you tell me whether or not you think this is actually true. But in my experience, people are so starved for somebody to actually care, to actually go underneath the surface, that it can be a little bit overwhelming if you start to actually take on that role. If God actually gives you that measure of compassion and curiosity, you'll never get out of Safeway. And sometimes you do find yourselves just at the limits of what you can do. And the number of people and the amount of pain that you can carry. So you might need to set up some boundaries with that. And so I would urge you, if you're looking to actually apply this, like you actually want the people around you to grow, and you actually want to start that journey underneath the surface, is start with just a few people. Especially start with your own family. Especially start with your spouse. Because here's the other thing, is most people, in my experience, if you're married, are so starved for that when you start turning this capacity on, you might inadvertently turn some other things on too. And that could get you into a whole heap of trouble if you're not really, really careful. Because most people just don't care. And so when you do, you're going to unlock a torrent. Be careful with this. But don't let the hazards of this and the liabilities of this stop us from doing this. People are dying to be heard and understood. You probably can't help everybody, but you can help build somebody up. And that's where, like in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, Paul writes to the church there. It says, therefore, encourage one another. And what's the next phrase?
Build each other up.
See, as we encourage one another, it builds each other up. If we never encourage one another, what doesn't happen? People don't get built up. Does anybody here, anybody here has received too much encouragement in the last week? You're like, man, just turn this off. I'm just sick of it. All these people telling me that they're praying for me and they believe in me and they care about me. Who here has had too much encouragement? None of us. None of us. But just imagine what would happen if we started to go. Many of you already do. But we got serious about looking underneath the surface of asking good questions with an attitude of compassion and a curiosity. We're mining for the gold of what God is doing in the lives of the people around us. Just imagine what would happen. How the people around you, the people that you care about the most, how they would grow. They are dying to be known. And they probably can't see what God is already doing in their life without some help. Just like you can't see what God is doing in your life without some help. That's why we desperately need one another. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. Just imagine what would happen. Just imagine what would happen if we did this. Like if Columbia Grove was increasingly known, I think we already are, but increasingly known as a place that really cares about people. I tell you, I am so excited about the future of our church. We have got a leadership team and a staff team that is in better alignment than I have ever seen. I feel like Pete Carroll at the beginning of a season when you get all the star players. I mean, we are in a fantastic season with so much potential right now. I mean, God has blessed us in incredible ways. This is a year where our church is going to grow significantly if we grow in the life of care. God, here's the church growth strategy. Here's the whole thing. God will never send us more people than we can love. Every person has a gift. God will never send us more people than we can love. This is our year to grow. Grow big. Now, this might mean growing to more services. I'm not sure how that's going to work. We're going to decide that together. But God will never send us more people than we can love. And so as we pray, God, increase my capacity to love. Increase our capacity to love. We're going to see amazing things happen. As people come to Christ, as people get baptized, as people that were at the end of their rope find hope, as people who are locked in addiction today find freedom tomorrow, as people that are in situations that they felt like they couldn't, they had no solution, there was no way out, that God is going to bring them through it because we're going to get through it together. Incredible things are going to happen as we grow in this capacity. So here's what I'd like you to do. To somebody around you, let's delve into this just a little bit. Let's try some small talk on for size with a couple of questions that might launch some good conversations. You can even write them down if you want to and try them on each other later. Here's some stuff. You know, what's going well right now? Ask somebody that. Or what is something you wish you could change? Or when have you felt encouraged? So, take 2, 3, 4 minutes and talk to somebody and recognize the conversations that get started. We're probably not going to have time to finish them, but you know what? We're going to finish up our worship service in a few moments and then we're going to go have coffee. And in every moment, as you're munching on one of those yummy donuts, or we're out at the barbecue and we're sitting around on a beautiful lawn watching the river go by, there will be an opportunity to do soul care. And there will be an opportunity to look underneath the surface. And if you will dare to do that to one another, you will grow. And so will they. So, you quack me up. Go quack each other up a little bit. Quack under the surface.